Okay. I once heard the Rabbi David Arlovsky from Eretz Yisrael. I once heard him speak, and he was saying how his father had passed away, and his brothers asked him to write the nusach of the tombstone for the father. He's the rabbi in the family. They asked him to put it together. And it was taking him a while. See, his brother Bruce calls him up and he says, David, how long does it take to write a tombstone? And he turns to his brother and he says, how long does it take to write a tombstone? A lifetime? Lifetime. Now, I could tell you, I've personally been in that position sometimes of people asking to help write, sometimes to write a nusach of a matzeva, of a tombstone. And it takes a lot. You have to encapsulate a person's life into a few words, the part that their children, their descendants are all going to come and how do you put a person into a tombstone? It's a lot. It takes a lot. It takes a lifetime to write a tombstone. So what was written on Moshe Rabbeinu's tombstone? So you'll say, well, why don't you go look at it? Well, the answer is because the Torah says that nobody knew where he's buried, right? The Pasuk says at the end of V'zayis HaBrachon, Hashem buries Moshe Rabbeinu, V'lo yada ish es kvurasai ad hayom hazeh. Mamash, until now, nobody knows, nobody's ever seen the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't check out the tombstone to see what's written on it. Okay, so that's a disadvantage. But what could you say if you would reduce, if you would encapsulate Moshe Rabbeinu into a few words? Like, could you put Moshe into a few words? So all the way at the end of Chumash, yeah, that's exactly what happens. So I don't know what was written on his tombstone, but let's see what the Torah says. Vayamas sham, mamash, eight psukim before the end of the Torah. Vayamas sham Moshe Eved Hashem. Who died? Vayamas sham Moshe Eved Hashem. You want to know who Moshe, and that's all that it says. Where in Eretz Moav, how al pi Hashem. Who was Moshe? At the end of the day, you take Moshe Rabbeinu with all of his achievements and all of his accomplishments, bringing down the Torah, splitting the Yam Suf, dealing with Klal Yisrael for 40 years in the Midbar. Who was he at the end analysis? Who was this man? Vayam Hashem Moshe, two words, Eved Hashem. And in the Parsha this week, so we also find this title, Moshe Rabbeinu is spoken about by his siblings, Aaron and Miriam, two great Nevi'im, great, great Tzadikim in their own right. Don't understand, don't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu's level of Nevuah required a different standard. So the Torah says at the end of the Parsha how Miriam, Aaron and Miriam are speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, why he had to divorce his wife, why he couldn't. They said, you know, we're also Nevi'im. Yeah, he's a Navi, but we're also Nevi'im. Hello, Vayomer Harakach B'Moshe Dibar Hashem. Hashem's only speaking. Didn't he speak to us? He never told us we have to separate from our wives. Okay. We're all familiar with that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains to them. Okay, before you give somebody Musar, you first got to explain to them what they did wrong. So Hashem explains to them, you made a toast. Your level of Nevuah is not the same level of Nevuah as Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a whole different league. Hashem says to him, you know, in order for you to have Nevuahs, it's only through a dream. You don't see things directly in a very clear way. Loichein Avdi Moshe. Moshe Mayevit isn't this way. It's a whole different league. He sees things that nobody else sees. It's in the middle, it's in broad daylight. Things have such clarity. Loichein Avdi Moshe. Once again, who is Moshe Rabbeinu? Avdi Moshe. Mayevid Moshe. This I could have Vayamas Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. Loichein Avdi Moshe. That's who Moshe is. Moshe, in a nutshell, you encapsulate. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have a matzeva, what would they have written on his tombstone? They would have written over there, Moshe Eved Hashem. That's who Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe's Eved Hashem. And yet, the pasuk right afterwards. So this is Hashem's explanation. Then Hashem gives them Musar. Says, I've explained to you your mistake. And yes, it's true, you might have made a mistake. But how could you make such a mistake? There's certain things you're not allowed to make a mistake. There's certain mistakes that a person makes. Even if you don't understand something, you shouldn't have drawn your own conclusions. What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Ches, Umadua lo yireisem. Why? How could you have not been afraid, Ledaber, to speak, Be'avdi b'Moshe, against my Eved, against Moshe? In other words, I've explained to you, Yutaka made a mistake, and I've explained to you. Hashem says, I'm going through the through the trouble explaining this to you because Yutaka didn't know. You made a mistake. You weren't afraid to speak ba'avdi b'moshe. So Rashi is bothered that there's an extra base. Torah should have written, Madua lo yareisem, why weren't you afraid to speak ba'avdi Moshe, against my eved Moshe? Instead, what does it say? Against my eved, against Moshe. Be'avdi b'moshe. Yeah, that's what's bothering Rashi. Why the two bases? And Rashi says a tremendous thing. Rashi says, I'm telling you two reasons you shouldn't have spoken about him. First of all, because he's my eved. Second of all, because he's Moshe. Meaning, so it's just to read the Rashi. But Moshe, afilo eino avdi. Even if Moshe wouldn't have been my eved. You don't second guess a person like that. You don't second guess Moshe. Kedaya yisem lira mipanav. You should have been afraid of him. Just to go talking about him and making conclusions. V'chol shekein shehu avdi. In other words, be'avdi b'moshe means you shouldn't speak about Moshe. And also the fact that he's avdi. The fact that he's my eved. The eved melech melech. The eved of a melech has to be treated as though he's the king, says Rashi. V'hoya lachem loymar eina melech ahavachinam. Why does the king draw him so close? It's not for no reason. Obviously Hashem sees a lot in him. See, even if you don't, but Hashem apparently does. So there's two reasons not to speak against him. Two reasons that you should have given him, I would say, the benefit of the doubt. Two reasons. Be'avdi, because he's my eved, and because he's Moshe. And I wanted to understand, what is the second madrega? We know who Moshe is. Vayamas sham Moshe eved Hashem. Enough said. Over here it said, even over here before, Lo'chein avdi Moshe. What's Moshe eved Hashem? Now the Tanya writes in the sixth parak of the Tanya says, the more that a person is mevatel himself to Hashem, the more he's zoicha to Hashras Hashchina. Which means the more that I am me, so the less Shechina I get because I'm filled with me. But the more a person's able to clear himself out and be mevatel himself to Hashem, so the more Shechina. Moshe Rabbeinu had the highest level of Hashras Hashchina that a human being ever had. Because he completely cleaned himself. There was nothing else besides Hashem. So what is this other midah? What is this other madrega? What is this other bechina called Moshe? Madua le'yareisem ledaber be'avdi be'moshe. What is Moshe? What is that madrega? And obviously, what does that have to do with us? The first mahalach to start to develop this is l'chara gemara in brachas at the end of the fifth paragraph. Lamedalad amud beis. The gemara over there tells a maisa how, I think we've discussed this maisa before, and to bring out a different point. The Gemara says all the way at the end of the fifth paragraph, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a son who was not well. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a Talmud by the name of Rabbi Chanina. And he goes to Rabbi Chanina and he says, please daven for my son, he's sick, daven that he should get better. What happens? Oh, so, read to the Lashon of the Gemara. Amalai Chanina b'ni. Rabbi Yochanan says to his Talmud, he calls him Chanina b'ni. That's Shinantam Levanecha Talmidim. My son, Chanina. Bakesh Olav Racham in V'yichya. Please daven for him that he should live. Imagine the Rabbi goes to the Talmud. Please daven for him that he should live. Hiniach Roisha ben Birkov. So Rabbi Chanina Detzer immediately puts his head down on his knees and he davens and he's Mabakesh Rachamim. And there's a turnaround and the kid lives. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he wasn't afraid to admit it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gets up and he says, Ilmali Hitiach ben Zakkai is Roisha ben Birkov. Kol Hayom. If I would have davened all day long, I wouldn't have given him chiyus. Lo hayu mashgichim alav. They wouldn't have paid attention to me in Shemayim. And my Talmud went and did it, and he pulled it off. He got the tefillah in. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's wife, Amro lo ishtai, v'chi chanina gadol mimcha? He's greater than you? But we all need a wife like that. You know, but he's bigger than you? You know, I thought you're the one. Amar lo lav. Says, no, don't worry. I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham than he is. Elohu daime ke'eved lifnei ha-melech, v'ani daime ke'sar lifnei ha-melech. He's an Eved. Rashi explains, an Eved has access all the time. An Eved doesn't need to make an appointment. An Eved is an attendant. He's always in and out of the room. Mashein ken asar, as important as the sar is to the government, as important as the sar is in the cabinet, But he needs an appointment. When the Tsar goes into the prime minister wants to go into the king, there needs to be an appointment. He could probably get one, but there's an appointment. The king is not in the mood. The Eved's in and out because of his lack of importance is why he has so much access. So there's two things. There's a Tsar and there's an Eved. So over here, Moshe Rabbeinu, what is he? He's an Eved Hashem. That means on the one hand, mitzad how he viewed himself, it's nothing. There was no mitzias. Over here, the Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu was an ish anav ma'oid. He was so humble, more humble than anybody that ever existed. But there was another bechina. He said he was a tsar lifnei hamelech. If anybody was ever the tsar, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the one who gave the Torah. He's the one who dealt with Klal Yisrael. He's the one who split the yam. He brought the makas. He took us out of Mitzrayim. Of course, he's the tsar. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is saying. Madu lo yereisam ledaber ba'avdi b'Moshe. First of all, mitzad, my relationship with him is an Eved. He's got easy access all the time. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need appointments. Moshe Rabbeinu is in there when he wants, how he wants, on his terms. He's there all the time. Second of all, mitzad, his relationship to you, he's a tsar. In my cabinet, so to speak, in Malchus Shamayim, Moshe Rabbeinu is the ultimate. Madu lo yereisam ledaber ba'avdi b'Moshe. Why are we calling him Moshe? Why don't we give him a title, a tsar? You know, there's certain people, the Rambam writes in the Hakadamah to say this rhyme, he brings a Tosefta in Adias. The Tosefta in Adias says that the title Rabbi is greater than the title Rav. The title Rabban is greater than the title Rabbi. In other words, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai is greater than Rabbi Tarfon, which is greater than Rav Yehuda. But Gadol mi Rabban, even greater than the title Rabban Shammai, is when you call the person just by his name. Sometimes a person is so big, says the Rambam, why? Why do you just call him by his name? So there's no title that does him justice. He's so big, he's so miyuchad. There's no title that you could give him which will suffice. I mean, maybe you call him more, you call him by his name. Hillel, Shammai, Nitai Har, Bailey, Yeshua ben Prach, there's certain. So over here, Madur lo yereisam ledaber ba'avdi, that's mitzad my relationship with him. B'Moshe, in that he was a tsar. He's a tsar. How big? Moshe big. There's not even words in the lexicon to describe who Moshe Rabbeinu was. So that's one beer in this Rashi. What are the two things, ba'avdi and b'Moshe? But I wanted to share another possibility, another mahalach. And this is something I think that... It's definitely something that a serious Eved Hashem, a serious Eved Hashem, a serious Ben Aliyah always needs to evaluate. And this is the Nekuda I'd like to share. There's a sefer called Beis Elokim. This is my copy. Yeshiva has a three-volume set. But the one that's been around for the past couple of hundred years, it's been the one volume. It's called Beis Elokim from the Mabit. And in the Hakdama, the Mabit is he was a ben dar of the Ari HaKadosh of the Beis Yosef. He was one of the four that got smicha when they reintroduced smicha with Mari Beirav and the Beis Yosef and the Alshach and the Mabit. He was from the Gedolei Hadar. He wrote the Kiryas Sefer on the Rambam. Either way, so he brings down in his Hakdama the following Yesod, and he. You know, he expresses it. I'll go through. He expresses it in multiple ways. I'd like to share with you maybe the two things he explains with it. And the aside is like this: you could look at two people who learn Torah, and one person that's on a scale of 1 to 10, on an objective scale of 1 to 10, one person is a 10. He's mamish all the way up there. What he knows, what he understands, is huge. You have another person who, on an objective scale of 1 to 10, let's say is a 4. So who's bigger? It's Pashat who's bigger. The one who has more. He's the one who's bigger. Says the Mabit, there's a Mishnah in Avos, a famous Mishnah that says, Im lomadata Torah harbe, al tachzik toiva la'atzmacha, ki lekach notzarta. Let's translate. Im lomadata Torah harbe, if you've learned a lot of Torah, don't give yourself credit for it. Don't pat yourself on the back and say, whoa, I've done more. Ki lekach notzarta, you were created for that purpose. Says the Mabit, let me tell you the way I understand it. What is the definition of Torah Harbe? How much is too much Torah? Of course, there's no such thing. Torah Harbe means if you've learned more than others, you've learned a lot, but more than the people around you are learning. Al tachzik toivah la'atzmacha, don't tell yourself that I've done more and therefore I could become complacent. Which means, why, if everybody else is performing on a let's say on a 5, and I'm performing on a 6 or a 7, so why should I try to be an 8? Why, I'm lamad at Torah harbe, I've learned more than those around me. Al tachzik toivah la'atzmacha, don't really give yourself, fall into complacency for that extra 1 or 2 levels that you are more than others. Why? Why do you think you were able to do more than others? Because you were created with a bigger plan. You were given bigger kelim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for the world, so your contribution needs to be more. And perhaps theirs needs to be less. So therefore they were given less energy, less headspace, less heart space, less motivation, less zitzflesh. Don't measure yourself up against those around you in order to limit yourself. Measure yourself against yourself. Im lamadata Torah harbe, al tachzik toivah la'atzmacha. Don't say, well, whatever I've done is more any. Ki lakach naitzarta. No, if you're able to do Torah harbe, so that's your barometer. Now see if you could push yourself maybe one notch higher. To go overboard, one notch higher. Let me see. Could I move myself even a little more forward? He brings down a Mishnah, again another Mishnah in Avos, and then we'll go to Bava Basra. He brings a Mishnah in Avos that says if a person wants his chachma to endure, someone wants his chachma to be miskayim. So here's a barometer: if a person has more chachma than maisim, his chachma will not be miskayim. If he has more maisim than chachma, then his chachma will be miskayim. And a lot of the mafarshim are busy. How could you have more maisim than chachma? Says them a bit. Let me understand. What does chachma mean, and what are maisim? Chachma means the potential. Chachma, that means before I actualize. Maisa is when I actualize my potential, and chachma is the chachma that I have to know how to actualize it. So he says, if a person has more chachma than maisa, means he's got so much more potential than what he actualizes, that chachma won't be miskayim. Why? Because he doesn't really care. I don't use the word care, maybe. Could be care is a strong word. But it doesn't mean that much to him if he has all this potential and wherewithal and chachma how to do it, and he doesn't do it. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you actualizing all that potential? Why aren't you, if you have the chachma to do it, why aren't you spending the time doing it? Must be you don't feel that urgency. It must be it's not that important. You don't feel that your contribution makes a difference, or you're not in the mood. There's other things that are more important than that. As the person who has more maisim than chachma means whatever I feel that I could do, I'm putting in. I'm putting in 101%. I'm putting in, I'm stretching myself a little more, then it'll be niskayim. Why will it be niskayim? Because it matters so much to me. It's so important. It's so relevant to me. Person who has that attitude when he learns Torah, when he's Aymed ben Yisayin, when he works on a midah, when a person has that attitude that there's chachma and there's maisa. Chachma means there's the potential, my understanding of what I need to accomplish and what I could accomplish. And the maisa is when I actually put it in, when I accomplish it. If I live my life with that urgency, if I could do it, then I need to do it. Then I'll be able to accomplish so much. But if I could, and I know what I could, and I don't, so then even the part that I'm doing won't have such a kiyum, because I happen to be doing it. That happens to be the way I'm doing it. And listen to this beautiful thing. There's a Gemara in a few places. And I saw it more recently, but in Bava Basra, in the first parak, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had a son. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua had a son. His name was Rabbi Yosef. And he almost died. He's to the point that he kind of died. His neshama left his body. And then he came back. So his father, Rabbi Yeshua, turns to him, where the lines get wide in the Gemara, his father turns to him and he says, tell me, what did you see when you were there? You went to the next world and then you came back. What did you see? And he says to him, Olam hafach ra'isi. I saw a topsy-turvy world. I saw an upside-down world. In what way? El yainim lamata v'tachtainim lamayla. I saw those who are on top in this world were lower down, and those who are lower down were on top. And Rashi says it's referring to Aniyim and Ashirim, that Ashirim are usually the ones who count in this world. Aniyim are the humble folk. And he says in Olam Haba, it's really the other way around. Let me tell you the way the Mabit learns. The Mabit says, both of them are people, it's referring to a person's Madrega and Ruchnia, specifically Madrega and learning. El Yainim are the people who in this world are accomplishing so much. You look at them, they're so big. And Tachtainim are the people who seem to have a more limited potential, have accomplished much less. So there's El Yainim, the ones higher, the ones who've done so much, and the Tachtainim are the ones who've done less. He says, in the next world, I'm seeing that the kavod and the stature of the Tachtainim is higher than the El Yainim. He says, that's weird, that's an Olam Hafuch. And his father says to him, no, you're seeing a correct world. Why? Because just because somebody's accomplished more doesn't mean he couldn't have accomplished more than that. Mashenken, a person who's accomplished less, doesn't mean he Batsim should have accomplished more. Maybe that's his mission. Maybe that's what he's able to do. Maybe he's performing on that level. He says, Gam Efsha Shazosti a Kavanah. This is the Kavanah of that Gemara. You look at a person, he's doing so much, he's accomplishing so much, he's contributing so much. But maybe they could have done more, mitzad their makeup, could have done more. They say, okay, from what you had to accomplish, where are you? And based on that is the position that they're given. Mashenken, somebody who, the only reason he didn't accomplish more was because of less. What do we see in this whole Mabit? We see in this Mabit the following. Every person, certainly every Ben Aliyah, every Ben Torah, every one of us has a certain potential, was given certain kaicha, certain abilities that we were put into this world to actualize and to develop. And that's why we were put here. When the Tosefta says that the greatest thing you could ever call a person is his name. Gadol Rabbi Mei Rav, and Gadol Rabban Mei Rabbi, but Gadol Mei Rabban Shmoy. Another explanation for Gadol Mei Rav, why is Shmoy, why is the person's name the greatest thing you could ever say about him, the greatest title? Not just because his name represents all of his accomplishments, like we said before, no name does him justice, but the greatest thing you could ever become is the person you were supposed to become, your name. Person's name is his essence. Person's name is his potential. Person's name, Shma Garim, person's name defines, describes, determines who the person is. The greatest thing you could ever say about a person is he lived up to his name. He lived up to his, the word shame, it says in Aruch Chaim, is the shorish of the word neshama. It's a person's essence. The essence of his essence is his name. When a person is his name, that's the greatest thing. I don't have to be a Rav. I don't have to be a Rebbe. I don't have to be a Rabban. I don't have to be anything. I need to be myself. V'haraya, because I was created. I was put into this world. If I was unnecessary, I wouldn't have been given those kaychas. I wouldn't, whether it's a lot, whether it's a little, every one of us needs to be ourselves. This is what's happening over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Miriam and Moshe, and Aaron, Madua lo yareisim ledaber ba'avdi b'maisha. We're saying, what are those two things? Ba'avdi, we know what an eved is. An eved is eved Hashem. An eved means somebody who doesn't live for himself. He's totally living for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's the midah of b'maisha? First pshat we said is everything Moshe accomplished. You should have known. He's a sar lifnei ha-melech. Look at his relationship to Klal Yisrael. We want to say now, yes, an eved is his relationship to Hashem. Moshe is his relationship to himself. How much did Moshe become? Moshe became Moshe. Madua lo yareisim ledaber, when you find a human being who's accomplished everything he was put into this world to achieve. You're speaking about him. You're speaking about Moshe, that on this kind of a scale, out of 10, out of Moshe's 10, how was he? Not compared to others around him. He was Moshe. Moshe, it says in the Ruach Chaim, from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it's written without a psik. Moshe became Moshe. Moshe, he lived up to everything that he could have been. How could you speak about a person like that? What do we take out of this? What we take out of this is so important. The two things, the two most important things, or really there's three ways that a person identifies himself. There's his relationship to others, the sar, his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the eved, and his achrayas to the mission, to his own mission in this world. Why was I put into this world? What is my tachlis? What is my tafkid? Here we're, the 2 weeks after Shavuos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, to all of us. But he gave the Torah to each one of us, and each one of us was given the Torah. Hashem's not wasting the Torah on us. Each one of us has a tafkid. Each one of us has a tachlis. What is it? Let me look at what I've already accomplished, and let me see if I could up it a little more. Yes, it's hard when I'm at home, when I'm this, you know, when I'm not in my zone per se, but maybe sometimes it's a little easier then. When I'm really facing myself, what could I accomplish? What could I achieve? Not just relating myself to others. Me, bein adam la'atzmai. Looking at myself, how do I do it? How do I know what I could really accomplish and achieve? Let me look at what I have. Let me look at what I'm doing. Let me try to up it a little more, qualitatively, quantitatively, in time, in focus. Again, this is not only learning. This is learning. This is tefillah. This is tikkun hamidas. Let me move it a drop further, and let me see if I could do it. If I moved a little further, I was able to move that border that I had, that limit, just a little more. So then I've already discovered that I could expand myself a little more. Don't want to rehash things we've said all the time. Every Adam is a Ma'id, right? Same letters. What am I? I could be very who I am. Just to move that very. Let me become very that. Move it a little more. Hashem should bench us all. They should write on our tombstones. All the titles are very nice and all the wonderful things that we do. The biggest title a person can have on his tombstone is his name. If you find a tombstone with just a name, wow. Enough said. Enough said. So what was on Moshe's tombstone? I asked you, none of us saw it. Torah says you can't see it. Well, by Yom HaShem, Moshe, Eved HaShem, must have said Eved HaShem. I want to pause it. Maybe it just said Moshe. Have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful week. Have a beautiful Shabbos. And all those who are...